Coming to you live from the Retroist Vault, Retro Radio Memories is on the air.
Hi, friends. Thank you for joining us once again for the Retro Radio Memories podcast. I want to apologize about missing last week, but as usual in these cases, the day job was just a little too demanding. In this case, I had to work 12 days straight, ending that last day with a 16-hour shift. I just couldn't muster the energy to record the show. So I hope you forgive me for this episode being so tardy. For your listening pleasure today, we have something that is a little different than we've shared in the past. Today I'm presenting 5-Minute Mysteries. This old-time radio series looks to have also been known as the 5 Mysteries program. And while there isn't a whole lot of information that I could find, there are some contradictory info available on the web. For example, some sites, including the Wikipedia, say that the 5 Mysteries program was run in a block that lasted 30 minutes. Our episode, Murder in the Big Tent, is, as the title of the show says, only 5 minutes long. The wiki and other spots on the internet claim that the show was interactive, that listeners and studio guests were given time to offer their solutions before the actors would return to present the reasoning behind the show's solution. On the other hand, a few other places on the web state that 5-Minute Mysteries was made by the Mutual Broadcasting System to be used in syndication, wherever a local radio station needed to place them. You know, you had a 5-minute gap in programming, maybe. So here is a nice little mystery to fill in that slot. Both explanations for the show agree on one thing, and that is the rather lengthy organ music sections were provided for a local radio announcer to sell advertising time. That way, they had plenty of opportunities to sell whatever business wanted to buy airtime. Now, I have 2 episodes from 5-Minute Mysteries today since, as I've already previously stated, they're only 5 minutes long. The first one is entitled Murder Under the Big Tent, and finds 2 men of the law, Inspector Craig, and I assume Detective Pepper, enjoying a day at the circus. Until the ringmaster, a man named Denny, asks them to investigate the death of his business partner's wife, Dorothy Bryan, who was the snake charmer for the show. So, join us on Retro Radio Memories as we discover the reasoning behind the murder under the big tent.
Another 5-Minute Mystery.
Inspector Craig, I just decided that working for the police department is very gratifying. Especially even more so when it gets us free passes to the circus.
The word is gratifying, nimble brain. To ratify means to put your stamp of approval on something.
So that's what I said. With me, it's very much okay. When I was a kid, I was always crazy to join a circus.
You know, Pepper, sometimes I wonder...
Yeah?
Oh, never mind.
Inspector Craig, I've been looking everywhere for you.
Oh, hello, Denny. Pepper and I want to thank you for the passes. I think the big show is better than ever this year.
I'm afraid I'm not going to be much of a host, Inspector. It seems the snake charmer has been found dead and...
Murder?
It looks like suicide. I'd like you to run over with me and give it a routine check. Sorry to bust in on your fun this way.
Looks like suicide to me, all right, Inspector.
An open and shut case, as far as I'm concerned.
It's so hard to believe. Dorothy...
You own part interest in the circus, don't you, Brian?
That's right, Inspector. Nat Bryan and I are partners. Nat, I can't tell you how sorry I am.
Thanks.
How long were you and Mrs. Bryan married?
Not long. I can't believe she'd do a thing like this.
She was the snake charmer, right?
Yes.
Suppose you tell us how it happened, Brian, so we can get the facts straight.
Well, lately, Dorothy and I... Well, that is, there have been disagreements, quarrels.
There was some talk about a trapeze artist, is that it?
Yes. Dorothy was insanely jealous and thought I was interested in a little tightrope walker.
Were you?
No. There never was anyone else for me but Dorothy. And now...
All right, go on.
I came here late this afternoon to get her to listen to reason. She refused to be reasonable. It was quite a scene. Finally, she got up and ran into the dressing room.
Yes, yes, I see. These tents are divided into little rooms. It's very clever. You were out here, is that it?
Yes.
And she went into what could be called the other room. All right, go on.
I had no idea what she intended to do, otherwise I just can't seem to realize.
We understand.
Of course we do, Nat. Go on.
Well, that's all there is. She shot herself. And I was sitting here all the time. After a while, I got up and left. I was seen coming from this direction by several people. That's why I came and told you this. I didn't want the police to think I was hiding anything.
You did the right thing, of course. This tent is set apart some distance from the others, isn't it?
Yes. No one wanted to be near the snake charmer's tent, in case any of them got loose.
That accounts for no one hearing the shot. There's one thing I don't get. How is it you didn't hear the sound of a gun going off?
I told you it was late afternoon, feeding time for the animals. Dorothy's tent is next to the giraffes. They were making such a racket hollering for their food, I couldn't hear.
Inspector, if I may make so bold as to make a remark here, this guy is, to put it bluntly, an awful liar.
Why, how dare you?
Are you sure?
Plain as the nose on my face.
Well, that's plain enough for me. Hold still, Brian. Don't make a move.
In a moment, Pepper will reveal the clue that led him to believe it was murder, not suicide. But first...
Explain, Pepper. How do you know he's lying?
Because giraffes is like turtles. They don't make noises. Brother, is he dumb?
Good work, Pepper. Okay, Brian, you're under arrest.
Well, Pepper isn't very subtle, is he? I guess that Inspector Craig had Nat covered with a weapon, but to just blurt out that he believed the man was the murderer before he could be sure he wouldn't bolt seems rather risky. By the way, Time.com, back in September of 2015, reported that a group of scientists believe that giraffes may actually communicate by humming. The article, which I will include in the podcast post on The Retroist, states that after 8 years of research, in over 940 hours of recorded audio, they learned that the giraffes, at night, were emitting a hum that registered at 92 hertz. Okay, our next episode is entitled Zombie. In this story, we join Inspector James, who's been called by Judith Lockwood, a woman whose family has been struck with supernatural tragedy when her brother Lester and his wife fall victim to voodoo.
Another 5-minute mystery. South, hidden in the mysterious low country of Cuba, a sugar plantation house, dimly lighted in the somber dusk. In the parlor of the house sits a small, thin woman.
Lester Lockwood was my brother, Inspector. His wife, Nydia, drove him to throw himself off the riverbank.
Suppose you tell me the whole story.
Well, 2 years ago, my brother and his wife left their professorships in the English department at Lynbrook College and came here to live and write. Time went by, and Nydia became fascinated by the native drums. One night, she wandered alone in the jungle.
And never came back, as I remember.
And then the first of those mysterious notes appeared, written in blood on dried bark. I have been chosen, it said, for one of the living dead. Come to me, Lester, and share my eternity. It was signed, Nydia. Lester watched for her, certain somehow she'd come for him. And last night, We were standing on the jungle path.
Judith, the drums. They're getting louder. She will come, I know she will.
Oh, Lester, give up this plantation. It's evil.
It's too late. She's here. Oh. Listen, do you hear that?
What?
A movement. Yonder, beyond the trees. Look.
Oh, Lester, it is Nydia.
It's true. Oh. Judith, my wife's one of the living dead.
Lester, come back.
I've got to find her and save her from this voodoo magic.
He ran off in the darkness, and I went quickly back to the house to wait. And at last, Lester came back.
I couldn't find her. I looked everywhere.
Then you've got to come away from this place tonight.
Judith, look here on the window ledge.
Oh, another of those terrible notes. What does it say?
You are a human. You cannot know the glory of eternal life. Come to the jungle, to the drums, and share my living death. Keep this between you and I.
Oh, she's trying to destroy you. Trying to, Lester.
I'm going to, Judith.
No.
Lydia's waiting for me to come.
Lester, come back. Come back.
And this is the note your brother found last night on the window ledge, Miss Lockwood. Eh?
Yes. Others, I suppose he destroyed them.
I see. And you say your brother's wife was formerly an English instructor?
At Lynbrook. She met Lester there.
Your story, Miss Lockwood, is interesting, and I think I know the truth. But the chief at headquarters would rather hear it from you, so come along.
What was the clue that led Inspector James to arrest Judith Lockwood? In a moment, he'll tell us, but first... Here's Inspector James.
Under questioning, Judith Lockwood broke down and confessed to the murder of her brother and his wife. She was a pretty mixed-up woman, but she had imagination. I knew Judith had written the note herself because no instructor of the English language is going to make two grammatical errors in four short sentences. You don't say human for human being. And nothing is ever between you and I. So, if you didn't know, let's keep it between you and me.
Judith was caught red-handed thanks to grammatical errors. Certainly a novel solution to apprehending a murderess, wouldn't you say? Let's keep this between you and I. Between you and me. But I bet we'll be revisiting 5-Minute Mysteries in the near future. Short and sweet, but a prime example of why old-time radio is still popular. And friends, I think that about wraps up this show. I hope you will remember that you can listen to the Retro Radio Memories podcast almost every Sunday over at The Retroist. The podcast is available on iTunes, and I would greatly appreciate it if you could give it a rating if you like the show. It helps to get the word out about our love of old-time radio. If you have any comments or feedback for the show, you can reach me at vicsage@retroist.com. The music we use at the beginning and ending of our show was provided by Peachy. If you have musical needs, you may contact him by email at peachy@retroist.com. A big thanks to the Retroists in order, of course. When you need your daily retro fix, why not hop over to the Retroist at www.retroist.com. Until next time, the Retro Radio Memories Podcast is off the air. This has been a Retroist production. Goodbye, and we hope to see you next time.